Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
What a powerful reminder of who God is. That is something we can always turn to, is who He is. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what's in front of us or how big something in front of us is, where our emotions are, where our world is, we can always turn and reflect and remember who we serve. And that is a faithful God. Even when we are unfaithful, He is still faithful. He is still alive and active in our life today. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for walking with us, God. You are the creator of all things. God, you are the sustainer. You are the author and perfecter of our faith, God. Thank you for everything that you have put forth. God, I pray that you would speak during this time. God, I pray that your word comes alive to us this morning. God, I pray that anybody that can hear my voice today, I pray that you would bring revelation. I pray that you would bring truth, God. I pray that as we walked in or maybe we clicked on to watch online here today, God, I know there is a lot going on in each and every person's life. God, I pray that we can take whatever we're trying to carry and lay them at your feet over the next few minutes, God. That we can receive your word, that our hearts would be open, God, that you would water the seeds that you've been planting in our life. God, I pray that I would decrease so that you may increase. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You guys can have a seat as we get ready for the message portion of the morning. How's everybody this morning? Yeah, staying dry? That's good. Nope, but still rolling. That's good. Happy Valentine's Day to you. If you're joining us online, happy Valentine's Day. We see you. I just see the camera, but I see you. Comment on there, engage with us, and we have the continuation of our Be the Bridge series. And if you're joining us for the first time or maybe hearing about this series, really we wanted to go on a journey together and say, how has God called us to be the bridge in our community? How has God spoken through us, and how are we called to live our lives on mission every single day? And last week we kicked off the entire series and talked about, why do we share? What is the command? Why, as a Christian, should we even talk about Jesus? Why should we share those around us? And we talked about that last week. You can find that online. But today, we're really answering the how question. How are we saved? And not only how are we saved, one, I would love for it twofold, okay? One is, I hope that it encourages you. Even if you are a Christian today, I hope that this message encourages you to remember, just like that song we just proclaimed, of who our faithful God is and who He is in your life. But also, on the second, my prayer is that even if you've heard this 1,000 times, I'm praying that you take something from it of going, okay, now I'm more confident if I were to share this with someone. Maybe at work, somebody says, well, what is this whole salvation thing? What is this whole Jesus thing about? And you can share with them. Maybe put some tools in your toolbox or take a couple of notes here. And so I try not to get too excited, okay? But we're preaching about salvation and the gospel today, so they're making no promises. But I'm trying to allow this to be more of a teaching, if that makes sense. So that we can come and walk together in this as God is teaching us. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We're actually going to go verses all the way 1 through 10, okay? And this will be, we do have some supporting verses, but that's our base verse that we'll be in this morning, and we'll support that. But I have a title for my message this morning. You guys ready? Drum roll, I'm just kidding. The title for this morning is Jesus is Enough. Jesus is Enough. And really, I hope once you leave here today, if you don't remember anything else, if you check out for the rest of the 3 hours of this message. Just kidding. If you check out for the next few minutes, just remember those three words. Jesus is enough. And that's my prayer as we remember. But before we get to Ephesians chapter 2, I love seeing our people, maybe if you're online, do we have any competitive people in the house this morning? Would you consider yourself a competitive person? Yeah, okay, I see you. Do you have any friends that are competitive? So when you play a board game, is it just like, hey, this is fun, this is about community, or is it like, you know what? No, I'm dominating, I'm winning this thing. It doesn't matter if grandma's in front of me or my two-year-old kid, like, I am winning. I got to teach them, right? I got to teach my kids that you got to learn what competitive is. And it's funny, too, when you get people in the room, right? Like, you start to see the personalities come out. If you really want to get to know someone, if you're dating someone, just bring out a, you know, Monopoly board, and we'll see, right? We'll start seeing some things come out in people. And me and my wife, Amanda, we are both monster competitive. And so she is way smarter than I am. So when we play Scrabble and those games there, I try to be competitive. I try, but usually don't work out in my favor. It's fun to see, and it's fun to embark on all of that. And as we think about that, though, if you're really a competitive person, but I think a lot of times we do this even outside of board games, where we can look at life and get pretty competitive, right? We can look at somebody else's life, and it's almost like we're keeping score, right? We look at their life and go, oh, look what they did this week. Look at the vacation that they are on, right? Like, their score is way higher than mine, right? Like, oh, man, they're already married, right? Like, oh, they got this. Or maybe you're looking at them and they got the promotion at work, and you're like, oh, look how many points they got, right? And you're in this competitive game of life, and it's almost this constant. And at times, I think if we're honest with each other, it can be overwhelming, right? Where we look at what's around us and maybe look at the lives around us, and it's almost like, oh, I got to get out of this mindset of keeping score. Because it becomes overwhelming and overarching in our life. And in fact, I think not only in that, but even in our relationship with God. I don't know if you've experienced this, but maybe you woke up in the morning and you didn't have time. You woke up late and you rushed and you got out the door and you didn't get a chance to read your Bible like you would like to, right? And you're like, oh, -1, right? Oh, -2. Oh, I was driving to work. I got mad and that person cut me off and, you know, they're #1, right? Like, and all these things, you drive past them, but -5, right? And then you get to work and you're already feeling like you're in the negative of the check boxes. And then you get to the end of the day and your kids are doing all these and you sit back and you're just like, man, I feel like I'm just checking these things off, but yet I still need to walk in that. And so as we understand what that looks like, it can leave us feeling inadequate. It can leave us feeling like I am not enough. It can leave us feeling like I don't even know if I can even push through. I can be the person that God has called me to be. And as we wrestle through that, it can get pretty heavy in life. And I even think in our relationship with God, that God may could call, especially as we're talking about this Be the Bridge series, and we're talking about sharing the gospel and being the bridge in our community. We could step back and go, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm there. I'm pretty inadequate. I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I'm there. I just don't know if I'm there yet, God. And we have this conversation of, I'm not there. I'm just not enough. I don't have enough on the scoreboard for myself. And my prayer is that today we can almost restructure that mindset of saying, God, how do you want to work in my life? And in fact, the mindset of maybe I feel inadequate, maybe I don't feel enough, my prayer is today that after we read Ephesians chapter 2, we take a new approach at maybe how we view the world in front of us. And the devil is tricky now. He's been doing this thing a long time, right? He knows the way our brains things work, and he's been working with people, and he will put that back in front of us. And so it's even on days where we feel like maybe we have forgotten, or we've eased into of, I've got to build, I've got to do more, I've got to be more, all of these different things. If we move into that realm, then we can stop ourselves to get back to what Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us. And really, in fact, what Scripture teaches us, that there is power in the gospel. And so we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
If you're online, comment on there. Tell me you're with me. Amen. Something on there. Very good. We're going to read this and pick through it together. And then I may have a surprise for you today, okay? So you got to be on your toes today, head on a swivel. My coach used to say that in football. No, it may not relate to you, but verse 1, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everyone else." We read that, and we hear about the gospel, right? We hear about Jesus, and we even come to church, but it's very easy to skip over this truth, to skip over this reality, right? Because the gospel is translated as the good news, right? But in order for there to be good news, you have to have the contrast, right, of bad news. You have to realize, if I am being saved, what am I being saved from? What does this look like? And why? This is huge, because this answers the question, why? Do we need a Savior? Why do I even need to be saved? Why do I need to share? If I am in the world and walking in the world, why does this even matter? Why is this a big deal? Why do Christians celebrate salvations the way that they do? Why is everything changed when somebody meets Jesus? And it's because of this reason right here. We see this picture that says that we were dead in our disobedience. And one of my favorite illustrations I've heard before is, sometimes we picture our lives and we're floating down the river and we're kind of floundering through life and trying to make it and keeping our heads afloat. And then comes Jesus, right? Like we're in a military town. So he's coming in on that helicopter and he swoops down and we reach our hand up and he pulls us out of the river, right? Like, that sounds good, but more reality of what Scripture is talking about. Spiritually, we are dead on the bottom of the river. And Jesus jumps in, sacrifices himself, pulls us up, and breathes life into us. And now we go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Jesus. If we read in the Old Testament, it talks about a heart of stone, and God gives us a heart of flesh where we can see and realize who we are in Christ. And the Bible teaches us, one of my favorite things to use is the Romans Road whenever I'm leading somebody through Christ. And if you're taking notes, here's some great scripture. We're going to talk through some of this, but Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that nobody on this planet is separated from that. We inherit that sin all the way back to creation, the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Sin entered the world and it disconnects us from God. Sin, literally translated, means to miss the mark, that you and I have missed the mark. We've disobeyed God. And it plays out in this. If you want to see this play out, go serve in Bridge Kids for a couple of Sundays, right? Because we see that even as kids, they make the decision. I didn't have to teach my kids to do wrong, right? It's like, where did you learn that? Like, I didn't teach you to do those things, but yet it's something in us that's pulling us away from the ways of God. Or one of the things, too, for me to look through and just go through and read the Ten Commandments, right, and start to use the law, as the Bible says, almost like a mirror for our lives. And when we start reading those of we shall put no other gods before our God, right, and honor your mother and father, all these different things, and we start to go, ooh, you're right, I fall short, right? I fall short. And then we see that the wages, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And then the Old Testament, think about it. My job in the Old Testament would be to sacrifice animals all the time, because they would bring all of these animals for the wages of sin is death. And so God had all of these laws, read Leviticus, set up to where they would bring the lamb or the goat or all of these things, and they would have to bring these before the altar, and these huge ritualistic things would have to happen and play out, and they would slaughter those animals so that they could be forgiven for their sins. But yet we read in Hebrews that when Jesus came, he laid the plate for you and I, because he was perfect, he was holy, he died for all sins of all humanity. And when we place our faith in him, then our punishment has now been placed on his shoulders. The punishment didn't go away, right? God's wrath didn't go away, but yet they were placed on his shoulders for those who believe. And we see this picture here in Ephesians chapter 2. And then we see this, right? And that's heavy, right? I mean, it's heavy to think about. It's something for you and I. It there's something in us of going, oh, but there is that need for you and I to realize that's why we need a Savior. Because left to my own vices, left to my sinful nature, in the devil's schemes, I will stray from God's ways, and sin begins to take over in our lives. But then verse 4 comes in, right? Woo, we got to buckle in right here, but because it starts off, but God, right? But God, that's enough right there for you and I to cling on to. Like, we look at our world, we look at our sinful state, but God. This is right here why we celebrate. Verse 4, it says, but God, so rich in mercy, he loved us so much. Man, that's worth even listening in today, right? Like, just to get that truth. He loved us so much. If you were ever wondering, does God love me? What does this look like? God, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we were united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. But God, we were dead in our sins, separated, missed the mark, hanging out, separated from him, but it says, but God came and he loved you and I and this world so much that he sent his one and only son and said, the wages of sin is death. And then Romans 5:8 tells us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the punishment, he took the pain, and when he died on the cross, that's why we celebrate communion, because there had to be a wage to be paid. But Jesus said, I'm going to pay it for you. I'm going to pay it for Brad. I'm going to pay it for Kelly. I'm going to pay it for you. And we see this beautiful picture. And then he goes on to say, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Then we can't boast about what we have done, because it's only through and by his grace. And salvation does not come from what we do, but from who we place our faith, right? We can't read our Bible enough. We can't come to church enough. We can't check off all of those things enough. But when we place our faith in Jesus, it is by his grace that we are saved. Now, amen, right? Before I get too riled up, what I want to do is, so very carefully, I have to say that because I used to be in youth ministry for like 6 years before this. Very carefully, there are three different gifts underneath the chairs spread out in this room. So you may even get away with it of, if you're on a row, you may want to, I would check the seat under you and beside you, okay? Go ahead and do that. You don't have to climb on the floor. You should be able to reach it just by looking there. If you don't feel nothing under your seat, you may want to check kind of the row around you. We got one right here. Hey, Miss Hunt, very good. There should be three. There should be three. Okay, I feel there's one. There could be, oh, we got two. We got one in the back. I knew, yes, got it, back row. Oh, we got three. Very good. So we got three there. You guys, right there, yeah? There you go. Look, I'm thinking about you. It's Valentine's Day. There's a little date night for you and your spouse, maybe, or maybe it's just for you. You want to go out and enjoy that, but that's for you, and that's a gift because we love you guys, and we're here for you. But I love that, and obviously, you have to take it, right? Like, I put it there, we put it there, and it was sitting there, but you had to receive that. Thinking about God's grace, grace means free and undeserved, right? Like, and I love how it says, not by works and what we could boast. How crazy would it be for Mr. Allen to take that gift card and walk out of here and go, "Woo, look how good I am." You see that? Gift card, that right here, that was all me, right? Like, yes, look at this. That would be crazy, right? We would all, that were in the room, I mean, of course, obviously, if you're not in the room, you would think, okay, that's cool. But in the room, we're all looking at him like, what? You just received it, right? Like, it was already there. You just walked in, put your hand under the seat, and the gift was already there. And Jesus is saying, my grace is free and undeserved. It is right there on the table. The price has been paid. It is free, but you and I, all we have to do is place our faith in that gift, place our faith in the person who has given us that gift. And there's nothing that you and I did, because the gift wouldn't even have been there, right? Unless Jesus paid for that price. And you and I, when we receive that free and undeserved, ooh, that undeserved portion gets me every time. While we were still sinners, God looked at us and said, I love you. Here's the gift of salvation. Here's the gift of grace for you. And he said, I love you so much. And what I want you to do is to receive that, to rest in the fact and know that that gift is there for you. And I've already paid the price. Your tab is already covered. You just need to receive what has already been placed there on the table. How beautiful is that for you and I to know that we have been saved by grace through faith? As Ephesians tells us here, it is by his grace that the gift is even there, but it through our faith placed in the right person, Jesus. Only Jesus can provide that, as I was saying earlier, because he is perfect, he is holy, and that is the requirement, right, for that sacrifice. And when he died on the cross, we were saved for our sins, past, present, and future. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can call it narrow-minded. I call it clarity. I call it holiness, right? Because he was the only one who could come and offer that to us. And he came to reconcile us back to God. But true love gives us a choice, right? True love, the tree in the garden. And he places that option for you and I right there on the table. And as Jordan was talking about, the power of the cross, but yet the power of the resurrection. Everything in our faith hinges on the resurrection. Everything that we focus on in our life hinges on the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us and then 3 days later rose again. You and I can go search every cemetery on this earth and you will not find the bones of Jesus, right? And there is no other religion that you will find that places their faith in God Jesus, who died on the cross and then rose again. You'll find no other faith that says it's not about the works you do, the things you check off, the climb to get to this higher level, but it's who you place your faith in, because Jesus is enough. He is enough for our salvation. He is enough for our life. He is our sustainer, and you and I can place everything we have in Christ. And I love this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, that says this, "And if Christ has not been raised," this is Paul talking, "and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless." Paul is saying, if Jesus didn't die and resurrect again, then all of it falls apart, because it hinges on the fact that God came and sent His one and only Son to set us free, and our faith hinges on that moment. And anytime I'm having a conversation with someone, and in the Christian world we call it apologetics, whenever you're arguing back and forth, so to speak, or having a passionate debate of proving the existence of Jesus, proving the existence of God. And if we get too far on a rabbit trail, what I like to do is to go back to this, is to get them back to the resurrection, to get them back to focus on Jesus, to go, listen, we can keep going down all these rabbit trails, but let's focus on the resurrection. Let's focus on Jesus, because if you can disprove that, everything else, it's like a domino effect, right? If you can disprove that, hit the domino and everything else will begin to fall away. But if a man claims to be God, walks this earth, dies on the cross, resurrects again, comes back to life, appears to multiple hundred different people, gives us this book from thousands and thousands of years, right? If all of that happens, if whatever he says, I'm going to believe, right? Because everything, that's the foundation, that's the domino. If you can do that, then we need to have a conversation. But we can't, right? Because it hinges, Jesus is enough for you and I. And anytime we get on a rabbit trail or unfocused, we can bring ourselves and our people back of going, listen, let's talk about the resurrection. Let's talk about disproving that. And if you can do that, then we need to have a conversation. Good luck, because I know you can't, right? We can't. And in fact, there's so much overwhelming evidence that he did. We begin to see this picture of, wow, this faith that we place our faith in, it is real. It is fire tested. It is circumstance tested, right? I told you guys know my favorite animal is a lion, right? Lion King, da da ba, right? Like all those things. And what I love, my favorite picture of truth is, it's like you have a pet lion. I don't need to. I'm shoving here. Everybody good? We're still good? All right. If I had a pet lion, right, it would be a disservice for me to put a leash on that lion and walk around the room, right? It would almost be kind of crazy, right? Like, do you think that leash is going to hold that lion, right? That's like whenever I try to wrap my arms around who God is and then explain every nuances of God. And I'm like, no, he's more like a lion. I'm going to take him off the leash and let the truth run free. I'm going to take his truth off, allow him to work in your life, because this is the biggest truth I want us to get, that Jesus is enough and that the power is in the gospel. The power that you and I have, you don't have the ability, I don't have the ability to save anyone. But yet all of the power and rest lies in the person of Jesus. I'm going to switch mics here. Thanks, Matt.
Again? Are we good? Are we good? Yep, okay. Now I can't do my hands like this, but that's okay. We'll bring it back in. We're getting ready to close here. One of my favorite verses is Romans 1:16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news," and it is good news. That's why we celebrate. That's why our hands are raised in surrender. Sometimes during worship, we maybe see some people rocking a little bit, our hands going, because this is good news. And then it says, "It is the power of God at work." It is the power of God. My prayer is that we walk out of here today taking the weight off of our shoulders of thinking we have to do everything, thinking we have to carry the work of the gospel, and we can say, you know what, it's like the lion, let me unleash it in my life. And when I share Jesus, now this the work of the gospel that actually saves them. I'm just the vessel, I'm just the bridge, right? I'm just the in-between, connecting people to Jesus daily. I'm just like the air traffic controller. My favorite ones are the ones that are like, you know, they're all down here like this, doing the plane in. That's you and I in life going, look, He is the one. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Place your faith in Him, not me, not people. It's in Him, right? He is the one. Jesus is enough. And that's where the power lies. And if we can get people to Him, He is the one that saves. He is the one that changes lives. And the Holy Spirit works and reveals who Jesus is to a dying world. But our question is, will we unleash that? And I want to give you something just real quick. This is just a nugget to help if we're having a gospel conversation with someone. There's three words that really may bring home and hit home with us today. If somebody says, I'm ready to receive Christ, and you want to walk them through what that means. And just like Ephesians 2 is a great chapter, you saw verses 1 through 10, you may want to read that with them and work them through of going, hey, the first step is A, and you just need to admit, realize that we have missed the mark. We have sin in our life, and we're spiritually dead without Christ, right? And then B, believe. We place our faith in Jesus. He is the one who can save. I can't save you. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we tell people that. And the last one is receive. You may want to, if you like ABC better, you may want to put confess right there. ABC, right? Admit, believe, confess that Jesus is Lord. But I like receive because it is a free gift of grace. If somebody admits that they are a sinner, places their faith, believe in Jesus, and then I'm receiving that free gift of grace. And it's that opportunity. And sometimes, just like I shared last week of praying that prayer, am I going to get this prayer right? The prayer doesn't save them. The power is in the gospel. Jesus knows their heart. It's where they're placing their faith. It's in Jesus. It's in Christ. And I want to encourage you today to understand even this principle in verse 10. And then we're going to close. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. That through Christ, you're his masterpiece. He has created us anew. He's talking about salvation. Created us anew. We have a new life in Christ. We're no longer spiritually dead, but yet new in Christ Jesus. And then it says, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The good works that we were talking about, the works, that's an overflow of the gospel in our hearts. That's the overflow of what God is doing in our life. Not the other way around. If I do enough good works, and I'm going to get on God's radar, and I'm going to become more righteous, but yet know the power is in the gospel. And because I am set free in Christ, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to give my heart and life so that you can know him too, so that he can get all of the glory for all of this. All of our worship, all of our praise. But I love this, for we are God's masterpiece. And through Christ, through Jesus, we are enough. Without Christ, we fall short. But in and through Christ, he moves inside of our hearts. And I believe, so that's what I was talking about. One, I hope you're encouraged as a believer. Because sometimes, moms, life can get overwhelming, right? With our kids and marriage and all of these different things, but to know that through Christ, you are his masterpiece. Maybe if you're in the room, student in the room, or you're waiting on what that looks like, it's so easy to say, if I can just find the right person, if you're listening online, if I just find the right person, they will complete me. Oh, through Christ, he is the one that makes us complete. He is the one that sustains and builds and works and moves in our heart, right? And in this knowledge, social media-driven world, I want to, especially if you're a student, sometimes it's if I can chase and I get my identity and my hope and my joy from if there's enough likes, even for adults, right? Even if I can carve that from my employer or the people around me, or if I can get that girl's attention or that guy's attention or whoever it is, you and I can rest that Jesus is enough. He sustains us. He fills us. I'm looking at the men in the room. And maybe listening online, you don't have to do more. I would argue we probably need to do less, right? I would argue that you and I need to come to the feet of Jesus and realize, maybe you've never had somebody say that to you before, but you are God's master. You don't have to make more money. You don't have to complete more hours. All of those things, if we come to the feet of Jesus. He is enough. He fulfills us. We are fully known, fully made right in the arms of Jesus. And anytime life is too overwhelming, we need to simplify and get back to Jesus, because He is enough. So many times in 2020, I felt life getting overwhelmed. And it just feels like the weight is on our shoulders. And every time I had to go back to this truth. And it was through this truth. I remember I was on a walk. I like to prayer walk, okay? And you know I'm already moving up here, but I like to prayer walk. And I remember crying out to God, just wrestling with God. And the Holy Spirit just kept whispering that three words, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And that's my prayer for you and I today. One is, if you're listening online, or maybe you're in the room and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're hearing the gospel, the full gospel right here, and you realize, wow, I need a Savior. I have missed the mark. I've never given my life to, I've never placed my faith in Jesus. My prayer is that you would do that today. And I want to do I want to pray for anybody that wants to give their life to Jesus. Maybe you're in the room and you're saying, I've been coming to church for a long time, but I've never surrendered and realized this about sin in my life, and that I needed to place my faith in Him. And so we can settle that today. But if you want to pray that prayer, let's pray together. You may say something like this: Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know I've missed the mark. God, and I need You. I turn from my sin, God. And I'm placing my faith in You, Jesus. I ask that You would save me. God, I'm giving You my life. Guide me from here on out. Change me, Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer, if you're in the room, I'd love to pray with you today before you leave, just to help you walk and take those next steps. Don't walk out of this place. If you're online, the very first link you see, click on it. We want to follow up with you. And we'll allow you to walk in community together. But let's pray together as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for being faithful, God. I pray that every single person in this room listening online, I pray that we hear Jesus is enough. I pray that we rest in that fact. Your word says, come to Me, all who are heavy burdened, God. And You will give us rest, for Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Because You are our strength, God. Even in our weakness, You are enough, Jesus. I pray that we place who we are in Your hands. I pray that we place our job, how much money we make, how our parenting, our marriage, God. Whatever You want to do, guide me. Jesus, I pray that You fill us, help us to see the picture that through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, God, we are set free. And that there's power in the resurrection. The power lies in the gospel. Allow that to speak in and through us today, God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.